Here's some of.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and the rest of the region and the world this Monday, January 20th, 2025. Donald Trump is about to be sworn in as the 47th President of the United States, and the musicians who play Hail to the Chief are ready.
Maybe my seventh time, but every time is special. It's all a little bit surreal that I get to be a part of this piece of history and that we get to observe and participate in this major event.
And Sudanese business owners in Juba say they want security protection from the government.
My shop has been looted, all the properties I lost. One of my brothers has been injured in the bakery, and then his phone has been taken and all his things has been taken.
These stories and much more, all coming up on South Sudan in Focus. For the first time in 40 years, the U.S. inauguration is being held indoors due to the bitter cold today. It is being held inside the U.S. Capitol building, which is just across the street from our VOA studios here. Washington views every presidential inauguration as different than the last one, but this one really stands out. VOA senior Washington correspondent Carolyn Pursuti explains.
Known as the President's Own, the Marine Band has performed at every inauguration since 1801. But this time, musicians will not have to worry about their instruments freezing up because the inauguration will be held inside the U.S. Capitol due to freezing temperatures. On Monday, listen for these musicians to create the soundtrack as Carrie Underwood sings America the Beautiful. Then to play Hail to the Chief immediately after Donald Trump is sworn in as president. Master Gunnery Sergeant Leslie Barrett has played oboe since the 2001 inauguration.
It may be my seventh time, but every time is special. It's all a little bit surreal that I get to be a part of this piece of history and that we get to observe and participate in this major event, not just in the U.S., but in the world. It may be the same, but it will never be the same.
But I will faithfully execute.
And this one will definitely stand out. The last time frigid temperatures caused the swearing-in to be moved indoors was 1985. That was for President Ronald Reagan's second term. Outdoor preparations for the 250,000 ticket holders began more than a month ago. That included construction of the platform at the U.S. Capitol, the building of parade stands, and 48 kilometers of sidewalk barriers, more than any previous inauguration. Thousands may still come to the Washington Mall to watch the event. That includes first-timers Xander Goss and Olivia Connolly.
I've never been to one before. I'm pretty new to the city, so it feels like good timing.
My mother was 9 months pregnant with me at George W. Bush's inauguration 4 days before giving birth to me, so maybe it's my second inauguration, technically.
Monday is all about democracy, despite a polarizing election. Anina McBride worked at the White House for four administrations.
That day is an example to Americans and to the world that our country transitions and we have a new government.
Following the swearing in, the president typically rides in a parade and then exits the limousine to walk the final block to the White House. Instead, for this inauguration, newly sworn-in President Donald Trump will appear less than 3 kilometers away from the Capitol at this indoor arena before some 20,000 people. History will show a different look for the second inauguration of this president. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News.
Every 4 years, the United States inaugurates a new president. Today, Donald Trump will take the oath of office as president for the second time. He first took office in January 2017, but he lost the 2020 election to President Joe Biden. And in November, Trump won the presidential election, defeating Vice President Kamala Harris. In a few minutes, we're going to be going live to the swearing-in of his vice president, J.D. Vance. But we wanted to fill you in a little bit on some of the background of some relevant inauguration history. The first inauguration of George Washington, the very first president, was in New York City in 1789. And as you just heard, more than 220,000 tickets to the 60th inaugural ceremonies were being distributed in the weeks ahead. But of course, most of those people were not seated in the Capitol Rotunda because it was moved indoors just a few days ago on Friday due to the bitter cold weather that was happening today, is still happening. When I woke up, it was only 20 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty darn cold. The theme of the 60th inaugural ceremonies is Our Enduring Democracy, a Constitutional Promise, recognizes the founders' commitment to future generations of Americans to preserve the continuity and the stability of our democratic system of government. There have been several music preludes that have been happening in this ceremony in the run-up to the swearing-in ceremonies. There are several dignitaries that are on hand, including many former presidents and their Supreme Court justices on hand and their families, and, of course, the family of the vice president and the president himself. We see that President Donald Trump, who's about to be sworn in as president, Donald Trump, is walking up now into the rotunda. And just a few minutes ago, we had J.D. Vance walking in, who is about to be sworn in, and we will take you there live in just a minute or two. We are waiting for that to happen. One of the things that we, or one of the musical guests that we know is going to be performing today is country music star Carrie Underwood. She's scheduled to perform America the Beautiful at the inauguration. And Victor Willis, the only surviving member of a disco group that was very popular in the 1970s in the United States called the Village People, said that it would perform its hit YMCA at least one inauguration event with Trump. And then we also have a couple of classical singers. Christopher Macchio will also perform on Inauguration Day today. He's singing the national anthem and O America. That was confirmed by his manager. And we are now seeing the Trump family. They are all seated and now they are all standing, waiting for the swearing in to begin. We are just about to go now to the floor of the Capitol Rotunda, which, as I mentioned, is just across the street inside the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. It is just adjacent to the White House and the National Mall, and all of the dignitaries. All of the dignitaries are now standing, and we are ready and waiting for Mr. J.D. Vance to walk up to the podium, which is he's expected to do momentarily. So we're going to take you now to the live feed inside the rotunda.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, the Honorable Joseph R. Biden, Jr., and Vice President of the United States, the Honorable Kamala Davy Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, escorting the Vice President-elect, the Executive Director for the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, Mr. Michael Wagner, Senate Deputy Sergeant-at-Arms and Doorkeeper, Jason Bell, and House Deputy Sergeant-at-Arms, Mr. Sean Keating. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President-elect of the United States, the Honorable J.D. Vance.
Thank you.
And we are just about to hear from the Vice President-elect, J.D. Vance. He was smiling as he walked in with his wife and greeting some of the dignitaries that he was seeing as he walked by. We're about to hear from him in just a few minutes with the swearing-in.
Ladies and gentlemen, escorting the President-elect, the Staff Director for the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, Elizabeth Farah, House Sergeant-at-Arms, the Honorable William P. McFarland, Senate Sergeant-at-Arms and Doorkeeper, the Honorable Jennifer A. Hemingway, Senate Majority Leader, the Honorable John Thune, and the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, House Democratic Leader, the Honorable Hakeem Jeffries, House Majority Leader, the Honorable Steve Scalise, Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Honorable Mike Johnson, Senate Democratic Leader, the Honorable Charles E. Schumer, Ranking Member of the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, the Honorable Deb Fischer, and Chairwoman of the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, the Honorable Amy Klobuchar. Ladies and gentlemen, the President-elect of the United States, the Honorable Donald John Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Please welcome the Chairwoman of the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, the Honorable Amy Klobuchar.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 60th Presidential Inauguration. Today, President-elect Trump... and Vice President-elect Vance will take their oaths of office, and we will witness the peaceful transfer of power at the heart of our democracy.
As you can hear, that is the opening remarks before the swearing-in. So we're going to just break away for a little bit, come back to the swearing-in when it actually starts for J.D. Vance. And with us right now, we have a South Sudanese businessman. His name is Manyang Rethkare. He's a Juba businessman and a social justice activist who is an adjunct professor at George Mason University. He's here in Washington to attend the Trump inaugural and joins us live. Thanks for being here, Manyang.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, welcome to Washington. I hope you brought your warmest coat and hat because it's freezing cold here in the nation's capital.
Yeah. I'm very warm here, so it's very, I'm adapting to the situation. It's been a very, new things again to me, but I'm happy.
Yeah. So you were invited to the inaugural by a California lawmaker, I understand. Is that right?
Yes. Alec Padilla is a senator from California, so it's like a committee, head of committee here. So I'm happy to be here and meet a new friend and a old friend. And, just to be there is very important. I'm excited.
Is that a newly elected California lawmaker?
No, I don't think he's very new. I think he's been there for a while.
Okay.
He's a senator, yeah.
And you had a connection with this lawmaker beforehand?
Yeah, I've been advocate for refugees for over decades and issue on immigration and, working here before I go to Sudan. So I'm very familiar with the policy on immigration and things like that. I think that's why I'm here.
So that's very interesting that you bring up immigration, of course, because that's one of the first things that President-elect Trump has vowed to move on right away with some executive orders. He wants to dramatically change U.S. policy on immigration and basically, cordon off a lot of the immigrants that are coming into this country. How do you feel about that?
Well, this is a mixed feelings. I have a mixed feeling on it. But at the same time, something has to be done. There's a lot of call that show that there has to be something has to be done with immigration issue and the broken system that happening. But at the same time, we also have to understand, not every migrant that comes to the country come with a problem. Some of them come with a job and create opportunity So there has to be just a good policy that would be put in place for people to have a safe and secure policy with the immigration system, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you see pros and cons to changing the U.S. policy as it stands now under the Biden administration on immigration?
Yes. I think there's a lot. Everything is not always black and white. So there's a lot of things that we can, we can argue both ways. So... But, we're just excited to see how the new president going to approach the very divided policy on immigration and things like that, So I'm just excited to be here and be part of it. And, I've been advocating this for over a decade now. And just to be part of it and be acknowledged, I think that's a big thing for me. I feel good about it to be on the table and attend all this ball and
right.
meet up with dignitary. So,
right. And besides all the pomp and ceremony that you will be attending with the inaugural balls, this is democracy in action. So what is your big takeaway for you and your country after watching this? It's happening right now, but this peaceful transfer of power today, considering that the South Sudan election was postponed yet again after being scheduled for December of last year.
Well, I think everybody will have to watch it for themselves and for Sudan. But, this has been many years of making. Democracy will not just happen one way. It takes a lot of time. And then, we're struggling with it. And, the country still needs a lot of help from the United States. And so the democracy is a process. It doesn't come overnight. And, a country like South Sudan will have a lot of time and challenges, including financial policy making, how to turn things around. So it's still very, very, very new to this thing. And so we're thinking that the new administration would help South Sudan get the full democracy and policy making. So
Do you think that most people see it the way you're seeing it, most South Sudanese, that, you know, that it's a long process? And are they patient? Are they understanding? I mean, you've had the same president for well over, what, 13 years now? And you're still waiting for a democratically elected, you know, transfer of power, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, we also have to understand, you know, this, you know, we right now what we're looking for is the example that America is going to show. I mean, there's a lot of challenge right now in South Sudan that, you know, in, like, even if the president won an election right now, it cannot happen based on many challenges. Like, for example, the registration board. This thing costs money. This thing are not just as we wake up today and say we're going to do democracy. You know, if you look at South Sudan, U.S. democracy, it costs a lot of money. It has a lot of process, people involved, think tank group, church leader, everybody involved in this. And so it will take the whole country to get involved in this. But I think, yeah, you are right. You know, this democracy is the best for everybody, and it should be respected, and it should be the way forward to go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mengyang Kerr, for joining us. That's Juba businessman Mengyang Kerr. He's also an adjunct professor at George Mason University here in the United States. Thanks, Mengyang.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to rejoin the live feed now. So let's listen in.
That is the importance of democracy. It allows the endurance, the permanence of a nation through change. It allows nations like our United States both to avoid the obstacles and to seize the opportunities God has placed before us, all while staying true to our founding principles. Today is our country's 60th inauguration ceremony. Like all the others before it, it is a celebration of our right to set our uniquely American course. The past several years have been trying at times for many, many Americans, and also for the nations of the free world that we humbly strive to lead. In November, Americans chose again to steer this nation towards greatness, the secure, safe, and prosperous future that our founders envisioned for all of us. And today, we celebrate not only their decision to do so, but also the simple right and wisdom of a free people.
Okay, so we're learning that this is a little bit longer of a process than we thought. So we're going to go to one of the stories we've lined up for you from Juba. Some South Sudanese business owners in Juba are calling on the South Sudan government to provide them security if they reopen their shops. Many shops closed after an angry mob attacked and looted goods in the country. Dennis Lagonye reports for VOA from Juba.
Scores of Sudanese shops were looted when angry mobs attacked them last week. About 500 Sudanese are sheltering at a police facility in Juba, and some shops remain closed for fear of more attacks. Mohammed Adam sought refuge at the police building in Buluk.
My shop has been looted, all the properties I lost. One of my brothers has been injured in the bakery, and then his phone has been taken, and all his things has been taken. And now we have been took by the government of South Sudan, and now we are in safe place, but we don't have water. We don't have food. We don't have money to buy things in the shop to eat. And we have kids. They are suffering. Some of them, they are ill. We have elders people also. They are suffering. Our situation is very, very hard.
The protests began last Thursday after videos surfaced that appear to show Sudan Armed Forces troops killing South Sudanese civilians in Wad Medani. The army recently recaptured the town from its paramilitary rival, the Rapid Support Forces. Protests also have been reported in other towns, including Awil, Nimule, Kwajok, Gogrel, Wau, and Bor. Mohamed Arun Karama, a Sudanese with a business in Mia Saba, says protesters attacked his home and store.
First, we closed the doors. Then they came and attacked us, carrying sticks and machetes. But thank God, we got out safely. However, we lost some of our belongings, and the thieves looted all the contents of the store, and we have nothing left.
Akena Kole, South Sudanese hawker, says people have started feeling feeling the effect of the protests, with the goods scarce in the markets and prices rising.
Most of the shops in Kudele, Boaba, here with lots of goods such as onions and flour, were closed because of the riots. We are facing a problem of scarcity of goods and high prices. If you look, most of the restaurants are closed now. You will only find tea shops open, which has created crowding in the food shops and backrooms.
Robert Pitia, the chairperson of the Chamber of Commerce in Central Equatorial State, visited the Sudanese businessmen sheltering at the police station. He said they would be protected. Ahmed Mursal is a Sudanese man who has lived in South Sudan for over 10 years. He urges his colleagues to reopen and says he is running his business without fear.
I own two shops here in New Side and Bawapa, and I have been working now without any harassment. I have been living here for a while, and my three children were born here, and I didn't leave my house during the attack. I was at home with my family, and I opened my shop yesterday, and I'm current walking around with the police to reassure the rest of Sudanese traders to open their shops.
Muhyiddin Muhammadzin is an electrical engineer who came to South Sudan last year. He regrets the acts of the Sudanese armed forces, which led to the suffering.
I came here to South Sudan before 1 year ago. After the war happened in Sudan, I was living in Umdurman. But because of the war, actually, I have many options to go to many countries, for example, Egypt, even Chad. So I choose South Sudan because this is a country that we consider them as brothers, actually, and we are the same country. But sadly, after many time from the war, actually, I know this kind of things happen always in the world. That things happen to our South Sudanese people, that in Sudan, actually, whose effect on us here.
Tens of thousands of Sudanese refugees have sheltered in refugee camps in South Sudan since the National Forces and the RSF began fighting nearly 2 years ago. Many of the Sudanese operate businesses in Juba and other parts of the country. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonye reporting from Juba.
And we now take you back to the live feed of the swearing-in inaugural of Vice President J.D. Vance and President-elect Donald Trump.
Father, when Donald Trump's enemies thought he was down and out, you and you alone saved his life and raised him up with strength and power by your mighty hand. We pray for President Trump that you'll watch over, protect, guide, direct him. Give him your wisdom from your throne on high. We ask that you would bless him and that our nation would be blessed through him. We also ask that you would bless and protect Melania as First Lady. We thank you for the beauty, the warmth, and grace that she shows not only to this nation, but to the whole world. We thank you for Vice President-elect J.D. Vance and his wife Usha and their young family. May he be a strength to President Trump, to stand beside him, to hold up his arms like Aaron held up the arms of Moses in the midst of battle. The prophet Samuel reminded the people, it was you that brought them up from the land of Egypt. And he said, now stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord. So, Father, we take this moment to stand still, to remember the great things that you have done for this nation. Thank you for the protection, the bounty, the freedoms that we so enjoy. We remember to keep our eyes fixed on you, and may our hearts be inclined to your voice. We know that America can never be great again if we turn our backs on you. We ask for your help, and we pray all of this in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your Son, my Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Associate Justice Kavanaugh to administer the Vice Presidential Oath of Office.
That's all we have time for today, unfortunately. We also wanted to say before we go that today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the national holiday for the slain civil rights leader who fought for justice and equality in the early 1960s before he was shot and killed. We are also letting you know that you can continue watching the live feed on our website, which is www.voaafrica.com
/South Sudan. I'm your host, Carol Van Dam in Washington. And on behalf of our engineer, Bill Entrade, and producer, Kwame Afori, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you back here tomorrow on another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.